wonder how many emails you send per day. I think you'd send less if instead you had to write or type a letter, put it in an envelope, find an appropriate stamper to stick on it, work out where you are passing a postbox, and send it. Somehow the postman is characterised by friendliness, warmth, a welcome character on the scene of our locality. Maybe the recurring refrain of postman Pat, postman Pat and his black and white cat rings in our minds from the author John Cunliffe's TV series, which started in 1981. With the visual of this happy man who knew everyone in his district. When we think of door-to-door delivery men, we don't have a sort of an Ocado song in our mind, or one which highlights Amazon. We don't always consider the extremely long hours and hard work put in by the postman. A typical day starts extremely early and is very arduous. He or she, have you come across any female posties? Because I haven't. He might get up as early as 3 or 4 a.m., get to his delivery office and spend up to 4 hours sorting through the thousands of letters to arrange them into appropriate routes or walks carried out by the various postmen. Then it's off on his route, and it could be 5 hours that he spends delivering post up to 600 addresses. You have to be strong, and your bag could weigh up to 16 kilos, which you could be transporting up to a 5-mile radius, which, if it rains, is not a pleasant situation. But postmen get to know some of the people they deliver to, and probably are the one person that some elderly people see each day. One postman, Peter Parker, from an article on his job says, "I'm out in the open and I can control the pace I work at, which means I have freedom and it keeps me fit. If I had a normal 9-to-5, I'd be the size of a house." Peter states that he feels his job is a public service, but feels that he is sometimes not treated as though it was. "Managers see it as a business," he says, "but I see it as a service." I wonder if you always find the parcel that the postman delivers. Here's a few rather humorous examples where the postman leaves his post. For instance, one person's request was, "Please put under doormat." And this is exactly what the Postal Service did. Even though the oversized box looked ridiculous with the doormat propped on top of it. Here's another. One nifty postman hid a box in the rafters of the porch with a sign saying, "Look up," taped to the adjacent column. Either this man was very tall or very nimble, or one who punctuated the routine of delivering with a sense of humour. Now, as to how far back in history it was when this service started, do you believe it? It was in 1660, established by Charles II. It soon became the GPO, or General Post Office, and rapidly grew as an important organisation, really necessary and integral to the infrastructure of England during the 17th century. And so it grew. The GPO expanded across the British Empire, growing from just England and Wales to the whole of Great Britain. Then in 1793, postmen first had uniforms. I wonder if postmen then made us laugh by hiding our parcels in odd places. Here's another couple of instances. Knowing that door knocking can easily get missed in their home, one customer pinned a note to their door, addressed to their delivery man. It read, "UPS man, we are at home. Please knock loudly. Thanks, Mr. and Mrs. Courier. Though one would expect this would persuade the man to hammer hard on the door, instead, the postman left a "sorry you were out" notice stuck to the customer's explicit sign. Here's another one. Please can the box not look obvious? It's party supplies. However, unfortunately, this wasn't followed as the delivery instructions were printed large on the outside of the package. Now, of course, out of this delivery of letters and parcels came in the interest and the postage stamp. And probably from about 50 years back, maybe a century, there was a quiet and popular pastime collecting stamps. The invention of the adhesive postage stamp by Sir Rowland Hill in 1837 was a key milestone for the post office. And just 3 years later, the penny black was established. As the first stamp issued anywhere in this world for sending letters, the penny black stamp remains iconic to this day and led to the introduction of the post office pillar box in 1852. The post box wasn't always red, and the first one, dark green and narrow, was thought rather ugly. Since then, they have changed a little, but not much. And it is a delight here in St. Albans to see the decorative woolen bonnets that perch on the post boxes around the Christmas season, all for charity donations, but giving us something to smile about as we walk around the city. The introduction of the penny black was responsible for the introduction of the uniform penny post, a postal rate which cut administrative costs and encouraged the use of postal system and adhesive postal stamps. Initially, you see, it was a normal for the recipient of the post, right, the one who received it, to pay the fee. And they had the right to refuse to accept the item if they did not wish to pay. The charge was based on the distance the item had been carried and the number of sheets. So the GPO had to keep a separate account for each of them. Oh, sounds really complex. To simplify matters, Hill proposed an adhesive stamp to indicate prepayment of the package. The penny black allowed letters of up to 1/2 ounce, 14 grams, to be delivered at a flat rate of 1 penny between any 2 places in the United Kingdom, Great Britain and Ireland, irrespective of distance. But back to stamp collecting. It was still a popular and valid hobby, say, up to 50 years ago and to now. And I inherited the delight of sticking stamps into an album. Maybe this is the ancestor of the current young children's books that have lots of little items to cut and stick on a page to create a story. I remember sending a lot of stamp albums to a charity, but one got left behind. So I'm thumbing now through the pages of different countries' stamps with a lot of pictures of the young Queen Elizabeth and of George VI, even on colonial country stamps like Southern Rhodesia, South Africa. And curiously, I have a whole envelope in my possession addressed to Mr. C.H. Ling at the Chinese Embassy in The Hague. I could sit in memory lane for a long time. Perhaps I'd better send this collection away and get more money for charity. But back to postmen. By the outbreak of the First World War conflict, 1914, the post office employed over 250,000 people, and nearly 1/4 of these were enlisted with the army. So as well as the 12,000 men who fought with the Post Office Rifles Regiment, some 35,000 women were in deployed in temporary positions during the Great War. Ah, the women came into their own in the war. As the GPO played a pivotal role in maintaining communications throughout the conflict. Yes, where have the women gone now? So to get back to the present, how many letters do Royal Mail deliver today? What do you think? In 2017 to 18, the Royal Mail delivered around 14.4 billion letters. And even including Parcel Force, only around 1.2 billion parcels. Well, that's in 2019. People who've been doing it longer often have the same duty every day. That is, you know, doing the post. Newer staff generally hop around and cover the days off another staff. Then if a duty becomes available, if someone quits or retires, people can apply for it and it'll be given out by seniority. You know, I do hope that the Postman Pat is always part of our children's popular literature. And of course, I must also mention the children's book, The Jolly Postman by Alan and Janet Allberg. We now expect everything to arrive at our homes, but at a price. Of course, I have to leave you with a question. Will all our shops survive? I'm sure they will. We're gonna lift up our eyes to the one who loves us. Lift up our hearts.